Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We sing this evening. Scripture this evening is found in Genesis chapter 44. Genesis 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and also he that with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou didst say, and thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, he shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me 2 sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, I will bring him, if I bring him not unto thee, then I will bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? So far we read God's holy, inspired, infallible word. We wish to remember the family of Ernie Scholten as he has passed away this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We wish to remember them in prayer. Let's come before the Lord and ask for his blessing upon our gathering. Dear congregation, we continue in our study this evening with the history of Joseph. We have seen last time that Joseph was going to test his brothers. After they came back for grain, he called them into his house to have a meal with him. And then he gave the several portions more to Benjamin. And he wanted to see and discern if the hearts of his brothers were still filled with jealousy against the children of Leah, the favored children of Jacob. And even after this test, it wasn't enough for Joseph to truly discern what had taken place. He had something else yet that he wanted to do in order to truly test his brothers. And yet the amazing and wonderful and marvelous thing is that already here in this book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, where God is setting forth for all the ages to come His glorious truth and His own character, is beginning to uncover for us, even in this history, something of His own Son. And though we have been considering Joseph, I trust you will understand as well that when we come to consider Judah as the surety this evening, we begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ in even clearer colors as we reflect upon it from our New Testament understanding. And so we want to turn to this passage tonight and look at some of these lessons and ask ourselves if we know something of these truths in our own hearts as well. So I want to read verse 16 and 32 of chapter 44 again. And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And verse 32. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Our theme is the final test with 3 thoughts. First of all, we want to see the sin that's exposed in this test. Secondly, we want to see the confession that is produced. And last of all, we want to see the surety who pleads. The sin it exposed, the confession it produced, and the surety who pleaded in this final test. Children, you no doubt remember what happened several years before this in Joseph's life. He had been the well-favored of his father, had received the coat of many colors. His brothers envied him. Joseph had had the dreams. And when he came to see what his brothers were doing, and in some sense we saw that they perceived it as spying on them. When Joseph came to check up on his brothers, they took him and put him in the pit. And in spite of his cries and his protests that we learn about also in the book of the Psalms, though they didn't kill him, they sold him to some passing traders that carried him into Egypt. And it was Judah, you remember, who made that suggestion. And so now what we're finding here in many respects is a flip picture of what took place at that very time. Joseph now is going to deal with his brothers in much the same manner. They had come to him, they didn't recognize him, but he calls them spies. He gave to Benjamin 5 times as much as the others, in food and in clothing. And yet now Joseph is going to push this matter even further. He's going to, as it were, create a situation that will test the true character and whether or not his brothers had come to repent and to acknowledge their sin. So it was the morning after their having feasted together with the second in command of all of Egypt, that they are no doubt that morning that they arose from their beds, having filled their stomachs the evening before. They have their grain sacks on their asses and off they go home. They must have been, as they left the city gates, probably singing. There they were going back to their families. Everyone was on board. Simeon was back with them and everything was well. For a few moments. Because behind them they must have heard a commotion soon after they had left the city. Who is this coming toward them so fast? Perhaps they wondered if they had forgotten something or what's the meaning of all this. And then they notice it's the servant of Joseph's house. And he comes and he gets off his horse if he was riding one or whatever he was taking to meet them. And he says, "Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this in it which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." You could imagine the brothers at that moment looking at each other. What is he talking about? Who of us would have taken any of the cups of the master of the land? And they say, "What are you, in a sense, talking about? What is this evil? What cup are you speaking about? Why would my Lord say such words? Far be it from thy servants that we should do such thing. Behold, the money we found in our sacks, we even brought that back with us out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of my Lord's house silver or gold?" And then they add themselves the own sentence to whoever this cup would be found. "And if it would be found, we will all be your servants, and even in the one whose sack is found must be put to death." But the steward, not wanting to go beyond what simple justice was, and perhaps even what Joseph had told him, he simply says, we'll settle it this way. Only he in whom his sack is found, the cup, will be my servant. And the rest of you are blameless. You may go back home. It's almost as if likely Joseph had told him that response so the seed already could be sown in their hearts if there was fertile soil to give rise to this evil seed. A seed which could have developed into the brother saying when the cup would be found, "You know what, Benjamin, this is your problem. You deal with it. We're gone home." Just as they did when they heard Joseph's cries and pleadings to return home, but instead they had sold him. And so the servant speaks. And he begins to search the brothers' backs. What an obedient servant he was to Joseph. He comes and he speaks, we read, exactly as Joseph had said. He begins going through the sacks and he goes from the oldest to the youngest. He digs his hand and searches around Simeon's sack. Oh, there's some money here, but no silver cup. You must have wondered what the brothers are thinking. Why this money again? They would have been reminded that the steward himself had said, I put it there last time. Levi, no silver cup. Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, he's digging around. Nope. Asher. No doubt the brothers are probably feeling fairly good, as if, no, this cup is not going to be found. Naphtali, just grain, certainly not Benjamin. He digs into the sack and he pulls out the silver cup. We can only imagine how all of the brothers' hearts must have sank. And perhaps even at this moment, as they're looking at Benjamin, Benjamin in his innocence could have said very similar words to what Joseph would have spoken. Don't leave me here. I didn't steal the cup. Please, brothers. If he did even say something like that, and it would have called to mind in the mind of these brothers the words of Joseph, when no doubt he pleaded with them as they pulled him out of the pit. Deep down in their hearts, I'm certain the brothers would have known that Benjamin was not guilty. There is, it seems, some sense in the heart of these brothers that there is something larger, bigger than just a silver cup being found. They had seen the anguish of their father before. They were not going to leave Benjamin alone. And so we read in the verse as the brothers go back, verse 14, and Judah and his brethren return to Joseph's house. Joseph had no doubt heard them speaking before. He had heard them when they had mentioned that this weight was still upon them, their guilt of what they had did to Joseph. The Lord was now finding out their sin. But he was giving this final test to see if that conviction was really genuine, whether it would bear fruit. Now, there are people who have convictions. They're convicted that they are sinners, that they have broken God's commandments. They perhaps even at times tremble. Maybe even things in their life, they begin to change. But the question is, as it is with the brothers of Joseph, is it a change that is rooted in the depth of their heart, where they come to confess all? Have you truly repented and fled to Christ as your only hope? Have you ever wondered perhaps also, have I ever really repented, or have I only really repented when I've been convicted and when I've been found out and I'm afraid other people are going to know? When you feel this conviction, where do you go? When you feel that you have broken God's law, you've offended the Most High God, do you seek reconciliation? Do you seek to be restored to Him, your Creator, your God? Or are you fleeing from God, even with your convictions? Here we see these brothers when they are confronted now with the reality of this silver cup and they have no explanation. They all go back to Joseph. They have no desire to be found guilty. But they know the cup was found. And they have to confess it's all true. That's what we're going to see here in our second thought. The silver cup is only but a emblem, if you will. It's only but a symbol of what really is taking place here. No doubt as these men, these brothers are being brought back to Joseph, they have to be thinking also of the kindness that Joseph had given to them. Would he not be just and fair to them as well? Couldn't they perhaps appeal to his mercy and kindness? And so they return to him. And it's Judah who begins to speak when they come into the presence of Joseph. And I think personally that these words, which are taking place in chapter 44, are as great, if not greater, than the words even we come to in chapter 45, where Joseph reveals himself. We liken that to a precious moment of a sinner who has Christ revealed to them. But in this chapter, the focus centers upon Judah and the surety that he is for his brother. And without Judah, there would be no revelation of Joseph. And so as they come before Joseph, they fall on their faces. And Joseph says, almost in a way of indignation and anger, What is this deed that you have done? Don't you know that a man as I can certainly determine what takes place? You can't deceive me in these matters. And then Judah speaks, verse 16, what shall we say unto my Lord? He knows there's nothing that could be said. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. They never took the cup. What's he talking about? He's talking about the iniquity with especially Joseph. Judah is coming here before a man he doesn't know to confess, in essence, before God, what he has done. Judah's confession here goes beyond and far above a simple silver cup. It's confession of sin before God. God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. I don't think for a moment that Judah believes that any one of his brothers are guilty. But he cannot fail to see the connection with what has taken place in their life before and what's happening now. 22 years later. And Judah continues, we agree with the sentence, my Lord. We will all be thy Lord's servants, and even him in whom the cup is found. And in this way, Judah, it seems, is trying to take the focus off the cup and off of Benjamin. But Joseph is not going to be deterred. He's not going to be taken back from the real purpose of his task. He says, verse 17, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, may go up in peace to your father. So it is with a sinner who comes before God. They know that they will have to pay the price. That's what Joseph is saying. The one in whose sack the cup is found must pay. He is my servant. The rest of you may go free. How cutting these words must have been. You're free to go in peace, brothers. I know you're not guilty. It's only the one in whom the sack contained the cup. Go back to your father. Cutting words also. So sinners, when they come before God, they come as Judah and his brothers, convicted of their sin. And God can use anything in their life providentially that comes upon their path and that comes from the Word to convince and convict them. And they come like Judas with the conviction and the confession
What can we say? How would we clear ourselves? God has found out my sin. Has God ever found out yours? We all know with our minds, we sin. But has God ever found it out? Has He probed it? Has He put His finger on it? And you've been convinced and convicted of this sin or that sin, and God has shown it to you. At this point, Judah realizes he's got no bargaining power. He has no rights. He's guilty. And one of the kindest things God can do to us is to bring us into this place where Judah was. Because if we never come to the place where Judah was, that He puts His finger right on our sin, you and I are going to go on in our life the way we've ever lived. And so He put His finger on the sin. Has He put it on your life, putting it on your sin? He's brought you into conviction. Even maybe in the past days, as you look toward the Lord's Supper. What do we notice here in Judah? It's true repentance. Judah doesn't hold anything back. He comes, he bows in humility and respect. He, as it were, worships this man because he knows that whatever this man says will take place. And he does not hide his sin. He confesses it and he's willing to submit to whatever the sentence would be. So a sinner. When we truly are convicted and we flee to God and we confess our sin, we are ready to receive whatever the sentence might be. Because we know it's just. We acknowledge it's true, it's right. And now Judah, hearing these words of Joseph, that all of them could return home and leave Benjamin behind, causes his heart to bleed. Not because he's got to do something, because he doesn't want to. But he has made himself responsible for his brother, and he now will fulfill that task. He comes near to Joseph. He speaks, as it were, into his ear. He says, Judah came near unto him and said, Oh, my Lord, let my servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servants, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Now no longer are we going to see Judah as the guilty one and sinner that we need to become in our own estimation. But now we're going to be seeing who this Judah is as the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The surety who stands in the place of guilty sinners. Who's going to turn away the wrath of this man against Benjamin, and he's ready to take it all on himself. And that brings us to our third thought. The surety. The one who had made a pledge, a promise. Jacob is eventually going to see God's hand in all of this. I think back still where he is in Canaan, he's still thinking about Benjamin. The brothers even say it. His life is bound up in the lad's life. If the lad dies, Jacob will die. We're going to see as time unfolds that Jacob is going to come to realize in Judah shall come forth the promise. We see in this passage as if Judah rises to the surface. Judah comes before Joseph as the surety for Benjamin. He puts forth several arguments. He pleads with Joseph. And he walks Joseph back the whole sequence of events that had transpired. He brings him all the way back to the beginning when they first had appeared before Zaphnath-Paneah in Egypt.
They talk all about, Judah does, he talks all about how that they had spoken because they had been asked who their father was, if they had any more brethren. And he explained how that when they went back home and had to bring their brother with them, that their father would hardly let them go, but finally let them go. And he has promised to be the surety for his brother. Notice Judah, the one who had stood 20 some years ago on the plains of Canaan and said, oh, there comes a caravan of camels, let's sell Joseph. He's now on his knees before Joseph, pleading for his brother's life. He had said, if I bring not him unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide in the stead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Here we see Judah willingly, lovingly, cheerfully, giving himself unto eternal, as it were, because he would know he would have to stay in Egypt the rest of his life, to be a bondman to Joseph, if he would let Benjamin go free. Judah pleads for mercy, not just because he wanted mercy to say, well, let us all go back, but he's pleading for mercy on the basis of justice. I understand Judah is saying one of us needs to stay. One of us is guilty. Let that be me. I will take the place of Benjamin. He pleads with something that fulfills true justice. Judah is willing to give himself in the place of another. And that's what a surety is. A surety is someone who binds himself to take the place of someone else. We read in Hebrews 7, Jesus was made a surety of a better testament. Before the world was created, in the before time was in existence, in the counsels of God, it was Jesus, the great Judah, who came before his Father and pleaded for these who the Father would give him, his Benjamins. And he was willingly a voluntary subject to this being held under their sentence of death. And Christ has said in the fullness of time, it is written in the book, I delight to do thy will. I will come and fulfill the sentence. The justice that must be measured out to those who have sinned, I will take it. I will be the surety, Father, of those whom thou wilt give me. Our Savior, He pledged Himself to His Father, to the justice of God, to do precisely what Judah's doing here, taking the place of Benjamin's. And it's only a picture. Because here Judah himself is guilty. Jesus isn't. But he's willing to take on himself the sentence of being guilty. He's willing to become, as it were, sin in the place of sinners. That he can do more than Judah. Benjamin, still Benjamin. But in spiritual life, the greater Judah is able to give to Benjamin's life and righteousness and holiness and all the blessings that come in salvation. And so we see that Judah is the surety. In some respects, we kind of have that idea in our culture, but it doesn't even really still compare. When a father would go to the bank with his son who's looking at getting a new car or maybe going to school or buying a house, and the father is able to take over the payments if the son isn't, he goes to the bank and he co-signs his name next to his son's name so that the son can never make a payment. Well, the father will take over and make the payment for him. That's a kind of surety too. That's not the kind of surety that Judah or Christ is. Christ isn't the kind of surety who is going to just fulfill the requirements when we don't quite make it. We could never make a payment. We could never pay one of our sins off. We're guilty. We've broken the contract. But Jesus, the greater surety, is able to stand in the place of sinners. He is capable of meeting every obligation of the contract, complete and utter righteousness. A complete and full obedience. With His whole heart, out of love, He did it completely. He did it perfectly. And beside that, He can make the payment, which was death. The sufferings He endured on the cross. He makes the payment we could never pay. He took the whole of our debt upon Him. Whatever our obligations were, He took it and He paid it. And in its place, He gave to us His righteousness, His satisfaction. So when the greater surety, the greater Judah, Jesus, stands before His Father, even now, in behalf of His people, He's pleading for them. Even as He stands in the presence of His Father, that Benjamin, and that Benjamin, and that Benjamin, they are mine. And He pleads with His Father for their very life. Sinners who come to repent of sin, to turn and acknowledge their sin, fleeing to the surety, finding safety under the shadow of His wing, these find peace and comfort in the greater surety, Jesus, who has paid the price. As the great surety, Jesus fulfills all the responsibilities that were required of us that we could not pay. He rendered perfect obedience, and He also suffered and died. But He also will ensure that every one of those Benjamins will be brought into eternal glory. What did Judas say to his father? If I bring him not to thee again, then the blame be on me forever. If Jesus doesn't bring every last one of His children home, He's going back, reverently speaking, to hell. It's impossible, in other words, that everyone who flees to Christ, that everyone who is covered with His righteousness, everyone for whom He is surety, not one can perish. Dear child of God, the suretyship of Jesus ought to cause your heart to leap for joy. The relationship you have now with the eternal God is not determined by who you are or what you've done. It has only and everything to do with Him who stood like Judas stood here. You are accepted alone in Him. You are received into favor in Him. You are invited in the week to come to eat of Him, to rejoice in Him. You are set free in Him. His hands were pierced for you. He has given you a robe of righteousness that is spotless, wherein you may stand before God and He sees no sin in you. So when Joseph could stand before his brethren, he could have said, in essence, you all may go home, and now Judah, you must stay behind. If we have come to realize we don't deserve mercy, if we come to the place where Judah had come, where we realize we are guilty, we need someone to take our place, our punishment, our sins,
we begin to realize it's precisely the very reason why Jesus came into this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you are lost and you know it and you don't know what to do about it, you may flee to Him. The greater Judah, the one who has taken the place of Benjamin's, you may find in Him all that you need. It wasn't the persuasive speech of Judah that persuaded Joseph in this case. It was according to his plan. He now saw true and genuine repentance in the brothers. And he's now going to reveal himself to them and say, "I am Joseph." And in the week to come, the Sabbath to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Judah, wants to do the same to all those who have fled to Him. All those who have tasted something of Him being their surety, who have by faith laid hold of Him, who by faith have believed the word of promise in some measure with comfort, who don't understand all the things maybe that are happening in your life. And yet, you've come to see in Christ your only hope, the great surety. He will come and He will say in the week, Lord's Day to come, "I am Joseph. And I will dine with you. It's my desire." Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that as we have considered this truth and reality that has transpired in the Old Testament, that we also may know something of the spiritual experience in our hearts. Lord, wilt Thou grant us to have an eye for the greater Judah, the one who is the only surety, the one who stands in the place of guilty sinners, who is able to pay the price and to set them free. Lord, wilt Thou encourage Thy children with this knowledge, by faith may lay hold upon this truth again, that Thou would give to those also who, perhaps even this very night, still do not know where to place themselves, who hunger and thirst, who are troubled on every side. O grant that they, in their trouble, may cry out to Thee, and Thou wilt deliver them out of all their distress. O Lord, do so mightily and graciously among us, that in the Lord's Day to come we may remember Thy death with profit and with praise. Go before us in the rest of this evening. Keep us, Lord, under Thy watchful care and eye. And hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.